Yellow Metal.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's the morning open. A look at the economy as trading gets underway following a long holiday weekend. Gold is glittering. The U.S. gets bumped. And water wars down south? What about all that hospitality? All that ahead. But first, where's Wall Street? Numbers are up right now for the S&P, up about 0.6%, 0.5% for the NASDAQ, and the Dow up about 0.4% at 94.81. European shares up right now as well, mainly under 1%. And in Asia, stocks closed mostly higher. The price of gold topped $1,000 an ounce today, only third time in history it's done that. Let's talk about it with Julie Nieman. She's an analyst at Smith Moore & Company. She joins us live from St. Louis. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Steve.
So gold is often seen as the safe place to invest in times of volatility. We saw gold go above 1,000 in the spring of last year, and we know what happened after that. So are we seeing the same thing now?
It's pretty much a replay. We're looking at a declining dollar here, and gold has always been a hedge against inflation. Now, we don't have that right now. In fact, we have deflation, but there's great fear that all these budget deficits are going to be causing inflation in the future. It's reflecting that. And then the fear factor, too. It's a safe haven from political and economic turmoil, and it's the only universally tradable commodity considered to be a storehouse of value. So you've got both of those things going on right now.
But then there's, Julie, some optimism this morning on Wall Street. We noted that the numbers are up. Some analysts are pointing to merger activity. Is that generating some confidence there?
Well, it is, because in spite of market run-up, there's still values out there. All those with cash have been sifting through the market trash, finding some buried treasure. Now, most of the acquisitions we're seeing right now are bolt-ons. These work. They don't pay too much. They fit in perfectly with existing businesses. They're buying divisions instead of all companies. But you have to be really aware of mega mergers. It takes 3 to 5 years for them to work. You've got different cultures, frightening, discovering phase of just what did we buy. Banks are really good examples of that. They never are creative that you never create value for shareholders. Banks always pay too much for competitors and can't bolt them on easily. So why do they do it? It's very simple. Bigger salaries for the CEOs. But these bolt-on kinds of acquisitions that we're hearing about this morning are the kind that work, and the price is cheap.
Yeah, the Kraft Cadbury thing that where Cadbury rejected, sure. All right. Julie Nieman joining us from St. Louis. Julie, thanks.
You bet.
We appreciate it. Congress comes back to Washington this week, and Marketplace's Steve Henn has a look at what's on the agenda there.
Every September, when Congress comes back to town, the traffic gets worse, lobbyists flood back, and cabbies like Charles Hewitt rejoice. The long, hot summer is finally over.
There's nobody to go to restaurants or anything that requires people. They're gone.
It's been a sticky month for lawmakers, too, but now it's back to work. They have to finish next year's budget, not to mention tackling health care.
I don't think we're going to see any action beyond the annual spending bills in health care.
A.B. Stoddard covers the Capitol for the Hill newspaper. She says health care is quickly becoming the issue that's eating the rest of the Democrats' agenda. Remember global warming legislation and regulatory reform for Wall Street?
I don't see that coming up in the remainder of 2009. I think it'll be health care and just the usual business.
And unless President Obama finds a way to slice through the gridlock, every other issue could end up stuck in traffic. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn. For Marketplace.
A new quarterly survey out today confirms U.S. employers are cautious about adding jobs. The employment company Manpower surveyed 72,000 employers around the world, showing hiring intentions for the fourth quarter dipped slightly in the United States, while improving in many areas in Europe and Asia. Of 13 U.S. industry sectors, only employers in education and health services were more positive about hiring prospects than they were for the third quarter. Well, the United States has been bumped as the world's most competitive economy. The World Economic Forum Global Competitiveness Report out today says the winner is Switzerland. Yeah, home of chocolate and watches. The U.S. lost its top standing mostly because of the financial crisis and deficits. Singapore came in third.
Marketplace is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
So Atlanta's been called the capital of the New South. It's home to companies such as Coca-Cola, Delta Airlines, and the Home Depot. And its metropolitan population has more than doubled since 1980. But neighboring states say Atlanta's use of a vital water source is draining. From station WBHM in Birmingham, Tanya Ott reports.
For nearly two decades, Georgia, Florida, and Alabama have fought over how much water Atlanta can drain from nearby Lake Lanier to fuel its sprawling metro area. Critics say there may not be enough water downstream to cool power plants in Alabama or protect oyster beds in Florida. It's a tri-state water war and a war of words. Georgia Governor Sonny Perdue says he'll fight to the death in what Alabama Governor Bob Riley calls Atlanta's massive illegal water grab. Charles Krautler, director of the Atlanta Regional Commission, says the other states may just be jealous of Atlanta's economy.
I think that there has been a perception that if there is some mechanism that limits Atlanta's future growth, that that might open opportunities for other areas.
But Cindy Lowry of the environmental group Alabama Rivers Alliance says she doesn't know why anyone would be jealous of Atlanta's growth.
It provides a lot of challenges environmentally, economically, and in all sorts of ways.
In July, a federal judge ruled that Atlanta was not authorized to take drinking water from Lake Lanier. If the three states don't come to an agreement, Congress may step in, and that makes this an issue for everyone, not just the South. There are similar reservoirs in 27 other states. In Birmingham, Alabama, I'm Tanya Ott for Marketplace.
And finally, the government on the tiny South Pacific island of Samoa has instituted driving on the left side of the road. They did it to be in line with big neighbors Australia and New Zealand and to prevent people from buying big, bulky, gas-guzzling cars that Americans drive on the other side. Yesterday was a holiday on the island to give people a chance to practice. By the way, bars are closed all week. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us today. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.